भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
भगवते वासुदेवाय
एकदा दिवसत्रेतु एकदा दिवसत्रेतु गंधारवापसरसंगना उपाहूता विश्वाश्रीघीर् हरिगाथोपगायने एकदा दिवसत्रेषु गन्धर्वाप्सरसङ्गमः उपहूता विश्वाश्रीघी हरिगातोपगामिने एकदा देवसत्त्वेषु गन्धर्वाप्सरसाङ्गमः उपहूता विश्वाश्रीघी हरिगातोपगामिने
the ladies. Any Matajis? Demigods, two indeed, Gandharva, of the inhabitants of Gandharva Loka, Apsapsarang, and of the inhabitants of Apsarara Loka, Kana. All Upahuta were invited. Vishwasrigabam by the great demigods known as the Prajapatis. Harigata Upagyane on the occasion of Kirtan. let me finish. On the occasion of Kirtan for glorifying the Supreme Lord. Ekada deva satre tu kandaravara pasparam gana upuhutta vishwa srigdiye hari gato pagnaye ganye. Sorry, excuse me. Srila Prabhupada's divine translation of this verse. Once, this is Srila Narada Muni speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This chapter is very extremely valuable chapter. Instructions for civilized human beings. Now we will read Srila Prabhupada's divine translation. Once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Srila Prabhupada's purport, through which we can understand this translation. Sankirtan means chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life, and the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahma Loka and Chandra Loka, not to speak of Gandharva Loka and not Sara Loka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, everyone shut off their phones, please. Please, everyone shut off your mobiles. Thank you. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed the entire universe. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvise Sasanyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. There's a saying in English that pride precedeth the fall. Sometimes we see, maybe we could say often we see, that those who are in the Krishna consciousness movement start to become proud. In Srila Prabhupada's discussion on the Shikshastika, the only specific and direct instructions of Lord Chaitanya, otherwise than his various rapturous songs that he would sing as he felt ecstasy of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left us only 8 instructions, which we often recite, the Shikshastika. And very important, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this when he discusses the Shikshastika, is the necessity the prime necessity that one develop in order to begin to appreciate properly worship and to relish the chanting of the divine names of Krishna. And that is that one should not just feel oneself very meek and humble, lower than a blade of grass, and seeing good qualities in all others and no qualities in oneself, but one should in fact come to realize this. Saying it is one thing, having some feelings about it momentarily or perhaps increasingly or a lot is one thing, but one should factually realize how minute we are, how insignificant we are. And the opposite of realizing how insignificant we are is to think that I am very great, I am very important, and more grand than that. So many things, mind will lead us to think that I am the center of everything and everything is for me, which is the very cause of our downfall into this material universe. And the signal of the reversal of that is Tanapi Sunichana Tororapi Sahishna Amanena Manandena Kirtana Sahara Hiri. When we begin to feel and understand and then realize this statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I'm not worthy of any respect, I am insignificant. Srila Prabhupada often, I can't say often, but frequently enough when he was giving lectures in Hindi, or even when he was giving lectures in English in the north, he would state, Bhagwan Mahant Hai Hum Tuch Hai. And I had the good fortune to have Srila Prabhupada's association quite frequently. And the voice that he, with which he said that, and the expression on his face was so touching, because Srila Prabhupada genuinely, to the core of his heart, to every cell in his body, if we can say it like that, experienced himself as minute. And although he is our spiritual master eternally, in his dealing with us as our spiritual master, he would take the position of guru, of teacher, of correcting us, of guiding us, especially if we were open to his guidance. Srila Prabhupada would correct us, take the upper position. Guru means heavy. It's one of the prime meanings of guru, as opposed to lagu. Lagu means light, and guru means heavy. So heavy means so heavy, very pressing down. See, pressing down. So guru takes the position of being heavy, to press down the disciple, to assist him from his own experience, his own realization, his own divine conscious, so that the disciple comes to, at the onset of the progress of Krishna consciousness, is when it actually really begins to realize his own very insignificant position. So here we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout this excellent situation, this excellent opportunity of carefully being exposed to the life of great devotees, as well as not great devotees, as well as great persons, as well as not great persons. In the previous verse, Srila Narada Muni is describing how his previous life in a previous creation of Brahma, and how he had an exceedingly beautiful body. Most persons in the material world are actually irreligious currently. Whatever gives the appearance of religion is mostly just another shape of materialism. However, if somehow that other shape of materialism, because they come hooked up with a divine soul, becomes connected with the Supreme Lord, and they go to the temple or the church or the synagogue or whatever it is, but not so much the synagogue, but the church or the temple, and they pray to God, please give me this, please give me that. Srila Prabhupada commented that still it's an improvement, but a very faulty one. A very faulty one. So Srila Narada Muni is explaining how in his past life he was extremely beautiful. So beautiful, all the women were bedazzled by him. And he got caught up. There are six opulence of the Supreme Lord, which for the soul in his pure state, the soul is the anksha of the Supreme Lord, the minute part, distinct in quality, very similar out of the 64 qualities of Sri Krishna. The Jivatma shares 50 of these qualities. So, although they're in quantity, they're very minute, in quality, they're identical. So, within these 50 qualities, we can see that there's beauty and fame. In the material world, it becomes manifest as beauty, fame, knowledge, strength, renunciation, and wealth. And most persons, they're very happy when they achieve these. Not just very happy, but we especially see in the misusing the Vedic system. People are going to the temples and just praying, and the churches just praying, please make me wealthy. And not realizing that this is like poison. See, especially at the present time in Kali Yuga, we have five senses centered about the mind. And the mind is influenced by the intelligence and the false ego, the erroneous identity with this machine, this body. And because of the identity, then the mind is pushing through the senses, and predominant in this Kali Yuga becomes the eyes, always looking how to enjoy, and because always looking there's great big malls and great big department stores in Europe and in America. They have so huge stores, if you walk around inside, it's 1 kilometer, so big, you know, you can go there and get exercise in Walmart during snow or excessive heat. So big. Just so that the eyes is feasting. They even designed this breakfast cereal, which is starting to become popular in India. And there are specialists who design those packages, and they actually make it so the faces on the packages, that the eyes look downward, because the major consumer are the children. They just train from the time they're young. Let me look and see what I want to enjoy. Always shopping, you know, always fishing for enjoyment. Matra sparshas tu konteya. So this is bhoga, which is the opposite of yoga.
Bhoga means utilizing this energy of consciousness and like a throwing it out and seeing what I can catch. Seeing what I can catch. But then it has a double problem. Because it's one thing to be trying to catch, but supposing you are the catch. Right? Supposing you're the catch. You know, everybody wants to be, especially Kali Yuga. Here in India, the movie stars are like gods and goddesses. And they know that. They know that they're, wherever they go, everyone is Guga Gaga. That's also true in the West, but not to the extent in India. So, you know, when a girl is beautiful, everyone's thinking, wow, how nice, she's very beautiful. But it's a hell. Because everyone, the men and the women, their tendency is to encourage you to that material identity of your body. And by that material identity of the body, oh, I'm very beautiful. Well, then we, Atmano Chana, Asura Tamade Loka Andena Tamasavrata, Kamstay Pratyagivya Chatni, Yekish Atmano Chana. You, Atmana, we are killing the soul. Because we're captivated and eager and increasing our capacity for bhoga, enjoyment. This is what the modernization is all about. To take a more sedate type of life in which material progress was relatively unimportant. Even into the 18th century, there were only a few hundred inventions in that whole century in which the greatest minds created something to improve the standard of material life. And if you go back to the 15th century or the 12th century, you see that it's just a few dozen improvements by intelligent people in the way that we can live our material life. Because people were not so concerned, especially those who had good brains. They had a basic understanding or a clear understanding, someplace in between, that the purpose of this human life is not to improve this material civilization, but rather, to differing degrees, perhaps in excelling degrees, that we should utilize this material life to bring ourselves up to some idealistic platform, which becomes manifested in a spiritual platform, which is, in essence, Krishna consciousness. Different places, different cultures, different spiritual understandings. This is true. There's vast research done on this by one Pritham Sorokin. But then when we start hitting the 19th century, 18th century there was just some 600. But when you hit 19th century, there's 8,500. Because the scientific revolution, they said, you see, this civilization is ignorant and backwards because the good minds have not been applying themselves how to improve material life. No, they're ignorant and backwards. But we are now evolving. We are more intelligent people than in the past. So all the persons of good intelligence should start to combine together and determine how we can maximum improve this material situation we're in, material way of life, and to enjoy it. They fell into a tremendous trap. And correspondingly, the tendency for song and art, architecture, and literature to, in different ways, glorify the Supreme Lord started to descend. So in the 19th century, 8,500 creations were there to improve. And in the first 10 years of the 20th century, 8,500, and now practically weekly, 8,500. People are so gaga, my child's got a good brain. Even my family, they were like that, grooming me. How to strain this brain to make material improvement. You should, you had a good brain, good intelligence, you should know how to make it throb and pulse and think how to improve the things in material life. That itself was their enjoyment. Actually, they were very simple people. But that's, they had been led in this way. It was, the whole atmosphere changed. And we look back in the past and think how primitive and how backwards they were. Of course, we see that there were great Munis who just with a single thought could create a whole city. And that city would fly in the air and be thousands of beautiful palaces inhabited by amazing persons, and they could just fly wherever they... So they had that good intelligence, but they didn't waste that good intelligence for the material improvement. That is the beginning of good intelligence. Then you have to use that good intelligence in every possible way, all the time, through every endeavor, how to make progress in my spiritual emancipation. So, from this example of Srila Narada Muni, who is the highest devotee, unimaginable devotee, Srila Narada Muni, unimaginable devotee. How many persons are liberated by Narada Muni? Just seeing Narada Muni, just thinking of Narada Muni, one is instantly liberated. He is of the purest personality. But, in his past life, he committed some offense to the holy name. We will read in the next verse. It's hinted at here. By invoking the names of the demigods, while the name of Krishna was being chanted. And he did this because he was so enamored of his material body. He was so beautiful. So beautiful. The women just became bedazzled. Anyone said, I'm yours, unconditionally. So beautiful. And similarly, wealth and strength. You know, we see a big house, but there could be the lowest, debauched person. In fact, they often are living in these big houses. And if you start to live in a big house and you get a lot of money, unless you are very, very attentive, you will become degraded by that wealth. Unless you are very pious and stick to it. I know from the previous two generations ago of wealthy businessmen in India, many of them were very pious, but not that many. And those who were very pious, they'd still worship Radha and Krishna, and they'd have some sankirtan in their house, they'd invite holy persons, and they kept themselves very simple. Even one family I knew, they were the 10th richest family in India at that time. And the man, he just wore a simple dhotis. He had Hawaii chapels. In those days, there weren't a lot of chapel manufacturers. They were Hawaii, not very costly. And although he could afford, fancy imported cars, he had an ambassador car. And very simple. He'd get up at 4 a.m. and chant Hare Krishna. And he was a devotee of Mahaprabhu. So, one has to be very attentive in this material situation. We become so misguided. And then, renunciation. So, we think, okay, renunciation, how is this going to, get us, Of course, in India, someone who's renounced, even in Asia, I remember my life in Hong Kong. And because I was very renounced in my business, some funny reputation came about in which the top persons in Hong Kong who I was dealing with in my business, there was some, not a scandal, but some tremendous rumor that I was secretly a Buddhist monk dressed up as a businessman. And the more I tried to get out of telling them that, the more they raised up their ante. So even in renunciation, people will praise, and then we start to think, actually I'm very important. And then I start thinking I'm very important. And then who is Krishna? So So the beauty of association of devotees, and especially of pure devotees, is that their intent and their attention is to help us think of Krishna. It's sometimes amazing, but also extremely beautiful that the Hare Krishna movement became extremely famous in Srila Prabhupada's lifetime. In fact, the media used to sometimes state that the Hare Krishna movement had become a household word. That means in every place in the world. And there were various factors in this happening. But the result was that because this singular man, Srila Prabhupada, went alone at the age of 69 to the United States and attracted some souls who many of them had been practicing something in Krishna consciousness previously, and they came and they helped him, and then within a very short period of time, matter of just a few years, every continent, everywhere, people knew this Hare Krishna movement. So the purity of a devotee is that through their association we'll come to think of Krishna. And then there are some persons who even are devotees, and they start a movement, and everything in that movement is about them, the International Society of so-and-so Swami. Yeah, there is one in which many Srila Prabhupada disciples, because they felt a little disenfranchised in ISKCON, reasoned right and wrong, they were attracted by this other person who gave them a lot of ego boosting, and also was a good speaker and knowledgeable. So then they named the whole thing after him. You see. Yet Srila Prabhupada's movement, which was in the initial stage entirely based on him, he gave us the strength and the guidance and unfolded the whole plan in stages and tirelessly went around the world. Yet everyone knew Krishna, and not very few people knew Srila Prabhupada. That was the testimony to his feeling to the core of his being that he's insignificant. So as part of looking at this pastime of Srila Narada Muni, we can benefit in so many ways. Srila Prabhupada would often say, I was listening to someone talk the other day, and they were talking about different sections in the Gita and how, you know, actually the first six chapters, they're not very significant, and, you know, the middle six, they're very significant. And one can perhaps, from an academic point of view, make this statement and look in this way. But as when I was hearing that, I was remembering statements that I've read in Srila Prabhupada's books, and also that are directly in the Shastra, and that he quoted about his divine spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, regarding the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, that actually one time Srila Bhakti Siddhanta for 1 month just spoke on one verse of the Bhagavatam. And then Srila Prabhupada elaborated why one verse. Actually, for our whole life, we can discuss one word. Like Bhagavad Gita begins with what? First word? Dharma. Huh? So, not as an academician or a scholar, but through the process of trying to understand these divine words as through devotion and through wisdom. Not knowledge, but wisdom, the vijnana that one gets through the application of devotion that causes this knowledge that Krishna gives in the heart. We could discuss this word dharma for the rest of our lives and not have unpacked the devotional understanding, the way that it can accelerate us in our spiritual progress. So we see this example of Sri Narada Muni, that even though he turns out to be such an exalted soul, and that was must have been in the heart of his being, he got entrapped. And by good fortune, he was cursed and took the body of a very ugly boy in a very extremely poor family. And Mahatsevam Dwara Mahavimuktes, by just association of devotees and in the statement, just one time, once, honoring a portion of the remnants of that Mahaprasadam of those saintly souls, his heart became instantly purified. And because he was free of any offensive mentality, when he listened to those great souls, he became fully elevated, fully purified, and became that same Srila Narada Muni that we come to know of after this pastime. So we must understand that becoming Krishna conscious is not a cheap thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a natural thing to be Krishna conscious. It's not some foreign imposition. In the beginning we may not relate to it. We may not relate to the activities. We may not see these activities as exceptional. Every activity of Krishna conscious, although it appears to our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, as activities that are similar, comprehensible to us as material activities, but we should not mistake as talking about Krishna's name. These are all transcendental, and they're not accessible in an ordinary sense. This is a gift to us. This is a gift to us. So we have to appreciate them, these gifts, this access to the activities of Krishna consciousness, and not take them for granted. And we have to work hard to become Krishna conscious just for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came many times to Delhi, and he had asked me that whenever I was near him, that I should come into his room and sit and listen. Plus he was coming to Delhi, in which he had put me as the temple president, and there were many duties, so I would frequent his room. One time I came in and Srila Prabhupada was sitting, and there was a couple. They were from America, and the man was very nicely dressed. He had a very nicely starched dhoti, and there was a Mataji, and he had very nice tilak, silk, very, very nice. Because, you know, we were living in India and quite poor, and you know, very difficult to have such nice things. I was going out in buses and to wear a freshly starched dhoti, but it was nice to see him like that. And his wife was sitting next to him, and she was wearing a very elegant sari and also very nice. And it appeared that Srila Prabhupada knew them, and he was talking to them, and I was attentive, observing both them and him, Srila Prabhupada. And I was first made very curious that he was looking at the Mataji and then looking towards the husband. He says, "Your wife is very beautifully dressed." Because Srila Prabhupada was the ideal sannyasi. And he wouldn't even let his sister stay alone with him in a room. Sannyasi must be very vigilant. And it's not just sannyas. All of us, grihasthas, brahmacharis, vanapras, must be very vigilant of association. I see here many times brahmachari, but to speak of wearing white, no excuse, but brahmachari sitting and talking with women. When Srila Prabhupada would see this in Delhi, he'd become very upset. One time when Brahmachari, I won't say his name, my god brother, was just passing by, and Srila Prabhupada, our room, he was looking out the room, and everything that is happening he's discussing with me, holding me accountable. And when Brahmachari, just for a moment, stopped and talked to this Mataji, she happened to be a Western Mataji, just for a moment, like seconds, I don't know what he asked her, we couldn't hear from that distance. Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this lingering? Brahmachari should not be talking alone like this, spending time. 1 minute, not even a minute, just one or two sentences, hardly one sentence exchanged." And Prabhupada said, "What is this lingering? Yet I see Brahmachari is here, sitting and talking and talking and talking, and I'll come back, I'll go upstairs, and still the same lady talking and talking. This is perilous. We respect Mataji's tremendously." I can go on for days how much Srila Prabhupada expressed his appreciation, especially of the Matajis. There's this pastime of the wives of the Brahmanas in the Krishna book. Read that again and again. You know, so much appreciation of how Matajis have a more natural proclivity for devotional life than the men. Not that the men are hopeless. But we shouldn't deride Matajis. We should be very respectful. A Mataji is standing here, I should move there. Not that I push Matajis out of. If the Matajis, right or wrong, they want to come and give flowers, men have to step back. Before coming to India, I was trained in this. So it's natural for me. But I was in an elevated lift in Bangalore. And there was one Muslim lady. And I was some distance, and she turned to me, she says, "Step back, please." You know, because they're very careful. It's very nice. I actually wanted to say, "Yes, I'm sorry." You know, it was so crowded, it was hard to keep that distance. Very nice. Very nice. But the women, they know how, should know how to also command this respect. So Srila Prabhupada uncommonly said to this Mataji, "Oh, your sari is so..." To the husband, "Sari is so beautiful." So I was quite curious. Then he began to speak, and he asked his servant to bring a letter. And Prabhupada said, "I just gotten a letter from one man in Laguna Beach." And I think that this couple, by the way, they were also from Laguna Beach, which is on the west coast of the United States in California, almost at the very lower southern part. And Srila Prabhupada began. Srila Prabhupada had his servant read this letter out loud. And the letter went like this. The gentleman writing to Srila Prabhupada was explaining how he's very attracted to Krishna consciousness, yet his senses are still untamed, and he becomes disturbed, and he goes out and smokes marijuana. And then he realizes that he has done something very wrong, and he starts again to associate with devotees who are very kind and generous and accept him back. And then he becomes rectified, and after some time this old habit comes back, and he becomes overwhelmed with desire, and he again commits this offense. Then he comes sensible, and the whole letter went on and on, and I was thinking, whoa, you know, this guy's situation is really difficult. And I was just waiting to see. Srila Prabhupada was expressionless throughout this whole reading. He was just looking at this couple. He was just very gently glancing over them. So at the end, the reading of this hopelessness and the devotee pleading to Srila Prabhupada for guidance, Srila Prabhupada gave his summary. He said, "Just see how he's struggling for Krishna." Maybe way too often a devotee will immediately pick one fault. One time I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada, one of the many times, And Srila Prabhupada was talking about this fault finding. He had described in that time and many other times that how Krishna sees the bright spot, bright side of everything. And Srila Prabhupada was saying, you can find fault in everyone, even in me, Srila Prabhupada said, pointing himself. Then he said, there's this Bengali statement, Chidranu Shasan, that you poke a hole, Chidranu, you poke a hole in a white sheet. Poke it, poke a hole, and then you have a little hole and say, just see, there's a fault. Just see, there's a fault. But instead of seeing everybody else's fault, we should see our own minute situation. We should see how rare is this opportunity for Krishna consciousness. We should not become proud, oh, you see, I have this right to Krishna consciousness. I have a right to be in ISKCON. I have this right. I'm a devotee of 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. I'm very great. Everyone should give me respect. But the advancement of Krishna consciousness is what is stated by Lord Chaitanya is not just to know this, not just to feel this, but to experience to the very core of our being how minute, how helpless, how finite we are. And whatever is our encounter with some other person, as much as our capacity, as much as our situation is allows to be servant. And the servant is, in this material world, is how to enthuse others, how to see the little... You see, look at Narada Muni. His previous life is horrible. Proud man, just so absorbed, and then he just a moment association with devotee, because he was without offense, he became so glorious. And he always stayed that way. That is the mark. We have to become that way, to the core of our being, extremely humble, and when we're then we'll be so grateful. You see, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeeva Guru Krishna Prasad. So, someone may say, oh, here is a pair of kartals, you polish this. Say, ah, what is this polish of kartals? Someone may say, go in the kitchen and clean the pots. Ah, what is this, clean the pots? You know, someone may say, go and clean the toilets, especially then, oh, clean. Bhaktisiddhanta, he had all these high class Brahmin persons, Goswami, and he'd send them and clean the toilets. Ramasha, he was sent and cleaned the toilets 3 months. Bhavananda, cleaned the toilets 3 months. Maybe some of us previously were cleaning toilets. So one shouldn't be grateful. But no, Krishna has given me this opportunity to do some service. Make the garlands. Oh, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have this service. Whatever that service, the devotee is so happy. So happy. So grateful. Because even one moment of devotional service, what happens when we engage in devotional service? Even if we are not in a purified platform. Srila Prabhupada kept on explaining to me in so many different ways the same thing. Anything in connection with Krishna is what? Can anybody guess? Krishna. So we are not yet purified, so when we see these things, because our senses are still so conditioned, when we see these different activities, there are 9 particular categories, and we see them, we are not really very much seeing how spectacular these activities are, how they put us directly in contact with Krishna, how they are identical 100% with Krishna. So we take them for granted, especially when we are proud. Especially when we are proud. But when, as we can actually become humble, one group of boys, they were on this Poland tour, and they used to ask me so many crazy questions. They were nice boys, but a little crazy. And one day we were sitting on a lawn in some city in Poland, and they were asking me, Prabhuji, how do we become humble? How do we become humble? And I said, you can't become humble. I said, just like this grass here, there are so many little plants, grass plants. And you see, nobody in the whole of this city knows that this plant exists. Nobody is concerned if we come and pull it up or whatever happens to it, because nobody knows it exists. So humility is something not that you learn how to do. Of course, there are, by serving devotees, one can advance in humility. By toleration of different difficulties, by always fixing the mind to see that whatever circumstance we're in, that is the kindness of Krishna arranged to help us to progress in spiritual life, and especially the association of devotees. But humility is something that we realize. We realize it. We say, wow, what am I? You know, when am I? Then it gives us the nice power. Srila Prabhupada assigned me, this will be the last, to preaching to the members of parliament in India. In fact, he told me to get the directory and to meet each and every member of parliament and every secretary to the government, systematically meet them and make each and every one the life member of ISKCON. Says, I won't elaborate on the story because I don't want to go further. So I began to do that. So especially that this was a very, sensitive service, because if you make one of these persons your enemy, and already, you know, I could see there were certain persons, name I won't mention. There was one person in particular, one lady, who was very concerned about ISKCON. Not that she had anything against it, but she didn't want to lose her shining in the nation. She didn't want anything to compete against her popularity. So it was very sensitive to deal with these persons. So I, actually, whenever I'd preach, or whenever I do a devotional service, when I first started preaching to making members, I would literally actually take a piece of straw in my mouth and remember that prayer. But then it would look ridiculous to have that straw in my mouth, so I took it out. You know. But I thought, you know, I have to be very humble with this person. But then especially preaching to these persons, because one wrong move, my God, I could harm this movement so much. So I used to go through a whole meditation. And in all our devotional service, we should go through that meditation. Whether we're cooking, whether we're cleaning, we should think, I should do this so nicely. Whether we're giving a class, what is my capacity to give a class? What is my capacity to clean this kartal? This is the transcendental activities. What is my capacity to cook for Krishna? Cooking for Krishna, Mother Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Mother Srimati, Mother Rukmini. You see, they don't like anybody else to cook for Krishna. This is what they live for. It's cooking for Krishna. Mother Rukmini's house, she has tens of lakhs of servants, and she won't let anybody cook. She doesn't let anybody serve. It's so important to serve Krishna. And we ask somebody to cook for Krishna, the fifth class work. I am a big preacher. No, my God. So intimate, so great an opportunity. Not just cooking, but everything we can understand. This is not so rare, durlabha. To say one name of Krishna, this is so durlabha. To hear the name Krishna, to hear even part of the name of Krishna, that is very, very, very fortunate. Demons, they can't even get this opportunity. Sometimes we used to see in kirtan, remember Sankirtan, and sometimes people, even the kirtan is sweet, the drum is nice, the kartals are nice, not clanging, banging. And they'd cover their ears and they go running. You know? They actually like this, they couldn't stand the kirtan. Even there was no kartal, no drum. They just, the name of Krishna like so breaks their heads, you know? So we're very, very fortunate to come in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement in this lifetime. We have no credit. We should see that whatever we have had in our life is both the credit of Krishna from within ourselves and within others, the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master and the devotees. Just like in India, you're exposed to so much of Krishna consciousness, all in the credit of some devotees. On behalf of Krishna has propagated some form of devotional service. And we're fortunate. It's not our cause. It is causeless. And if we spoil this thinking that I am entitled to this and by doing this thing I am so great and everyone should respect me, then we're lost. We have to see like, wow, like a beggar. You know, when sometimes Krishna will make us literally a beggar. Sometimes Krishna will make us starve. Sometimes Krishna will take everything from us and we'll have nothing. Sometimes we'll even be naked. That all everything is lost. And then in that mood, when someone gives us anything, we'll feel, oh, thank you so much. Sometimes days we may not have water and someone gives us one drop of water. Thank you so much. So like this, we're samsara dava nala lila okatanaya. We're lost in this material ocean. Completely forgetful of Krishna. Although we may be in some good fortune to begin, we're not actually connected. And then comes along the association of devotees and they gift us, it may be directly or indirectly, they may have distributed and we come. Like I first learned this chanting of Hare Krishna by reading that Maha Mantra in a bus. It was written in Telugu. The owner, he was a Gaudiya Vaishnava and he wrote it and I started chanting. You see, my guru, my Pravesh Darshatma Guru, my Siksha Guru, the man who owned that bus. I never met him. I never found out who he is. He gave me this Maha Mantra. And so many persons were indebted to. So we must be appreciative and then we will excel. You see, there is no end of advancement in devotional service. Actually, this word advancement is not a very good word. Progress is a better word. Progress in Krishna consciousness. Yes, we want to see people advance, but when we come to look at ourselves, we can't see I'm advancing in Krishna. We're developing Krishna consciousness. We should see ourselves and see, am I actually advancing? But don't think, please don't think, don't make this extremely perilous and suicidal mistake that there comes a time in which I'm advanced. Never. Never. Of course, it's a completely different platform. Completely different measurements. But as we read these great pastimes that we find in this superfluous, sublime book of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we come to the 10th canto, but throughout, we see great devotees are always put in situations by Krishna so that their love for Him and His love for them is constantly enhanced. Don't think you go to the spiritual world and you're done in advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's when it really begins. That's when that relationship with Krishna and His devotees really starts to accelerate in an unlimited way eternally. Better and better. Not only every day, not only every hour, not over moment, but every millisecond. The advancement, appreciation, the savoring of devotional service increases, increases. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita svadhanam. We can see, just study these pastimes of Krishna that Srila Prabhupada has given us in this book, Krishna book. And the more that you read it and try to observe the characteristic of these unexcelled devotees, and in our very minute way, follow in their footprints. And we see here Narada Muni, you know, it was not easy for him to become. He had to have very difficult times. And then of course, we study the pastimes of the great devotees. And Krishna is always giving them a boost. Every pastime of Krishna in the Krishna book, Krishna is always giving a boost to His dear devotees. Of how they'll become deeper in love with Him, more exclusively, they're completely sold out. They're in Vaikuntha. Nobody can be in Vaikuntha unless they're an absolutely spotless, pure devotee. Yet Krishna is always enhancing their devotion. And this is perhaps the greatest feature of the spiritual world. The material world, everything is dead. You do it once or twice and it's completely monotonous. They are the same thing going on, and every time it is exceedingly more amazing. You read the Krishna book 100 times, then it's amazing. After 1,000 times, which might not be possible, then it's more amazing. Read the Bhagavad Gita, each verse unfolds. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the actual pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is giving them push and shove and pull, and he also wants to enjoy that rasa more and more himself. Rasa Raj. So I've tried to say something of some use here. Forgive any of my offenses and mistakes. I have no capacity to speak on Krishna consciousness. Whenever I speak, I try to do one thing, just as when I used to preach, is I am thinking, you know, perhaps I'm speaking, and I have to speak on the basis of some authority. My spiritual master has asked me, and I've read his literatures to a certain extent, understood them to a certain extent, and to that extent I can speak, not beyond that. So I should know where I am. I should understand. But when I'm speaking, Srinivatam Swakata Krishna, I should also be listening. I shouldn't just be speaking. Oh, I want to hear, you know, everybody hear me. No. But if I'm speaking, that something is going to be valuable to those who I'm speaking to, whether it be one person. I used to have a radio show, so, and I used to be on TV sometimes, so sometimes millions of persons. But that they should be benefiting it. But if it's beneficial to others, then guess what? Then it should be beneficial to me. Because what am I? I've not even, you know, poked the beginning of progress of devotional life. So my attitude is that whatever I've attempted to say should be of value. Not just now. Just like when we give a book to someone. You see, especially the books. Bhima Prabhu here, this is one topic in which he liked to go completely crazy, is book distribution. We have a lot of devotees, lots of devotees. They're, you know, crazy mad about book distribution, like, you know, they're mad about this. So, but distributing a book is also not an ordinary event. Even if a person just sees that book, touches that book, doesn't take that book, at that moment they're in Vaikuntha. Everything is purified. And if they take the book, so this is, Prabhupada said, is a seed. The whole progress of devotional life, and they're going back to Godhead, we're part of that. What part, we don't know exactly, but we become eternally part of that. Maybe someone gave me a book and I took it, and that person is part of, you know, like that person who wrote the Mahamantra, whatever it is. But especially the book, because it's written. And then you pay for it, it's indelibly etched. They gave something to Krishna. So it's a progress. It's a progress. So we should always see how we're helping others in their progress. And we also, charity begins at home. So we should first of all see our own progress. Our own progress. So, Hare Krishna. We have any question? Related to what was said? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned during the class that you see brahmacharis speaking with women, and you gave the example, Prabhupada said, why is this lingering? Sometimes they'll say, no, I'm preaching. I'm preaching. I'm doing preaching. So therefore, I can, even though I'm wearing saffron, even though I'm a brahmachari, I'm because I'm preaching, it's okay.
You want a little elaboration on that?
Yeah, is that right or wrong or what?
No, you see, Srila Prabhupada, in particular, he would repeatedly give this example of butter and fire. And there he quotes so many quotations from the Shastra. Of course, some of them we have to see how to apply. But it says that one should not be alone even with one's mother or sister or daughter, because this Maya is so strong. So, you know, this is the Kali Yuga, and men and women, they're all mixed up. And unfortunately, women are not protected. So, I can't say this is a justification, but it's a reality. So women are actually forced to fend for themselves. As we become more and more materially advanced, then women are forced to fend for themselves, and this whole other culture comes up. And so it's very difficult to establish a proper varnashrama system of, you know, where the roles of the women and the men are simultaneously parallel to each other. So the interaction is minimized. I'll go back to the example. That boy who was lingering, I won't give his name. So he was just lingering. This is a very young girl from Ireland. And this boy had become infatuated with her. And actually this boy came, when Srila Prabhupada came, this boy complained against me to Srila Prabhupada because of my, not abusive words, but strong words to him. And one event had transpired, of course this is extreme, but this is perfectly liable to happen. This boy became infatuated with this girl, and this girl she was a little like simple, so she didn't quite get it. You know, she was a Western girl, so a man talking to her was not... She was quite shy, quite young, so it was a little uncomfortable. I don't think she even had a boyfriend. She was that young. And so she would feel a little uncomfortable with men, but she didn't like run away. Like previously when I came to India, they trained me, the Westerners, that if I were in a room and a woman came in, I should go out of the room. And if a woman were in the room, I should not go in the room. And I saw that. If I went in a room, the woman would go out of the room. This is Andhra in 1966. And the Westerners, they understood and appreciated, respected the Vedic culture and didn't want us to rub their culture the wrong way, to give respect to ladies. So this boy became so crazy that he told this girl that he wanted to marry her. And she was already trying to get away from him. And then one day, you know, he was talking to her, and she ran up to her room and she locked herself in the room, and he was banging on the door, and he said, "I have a razor blade. If you don't marry me, I'm going to cut my throat." You see, this is so insane. This combination of man and woman, you know, it's like butter and fire. Prabhupada said the fire is good, the butter is good, but you combine the two and poof, you know. Poof. Both go wild, you see. So the senses are so strong. You know, this is, you know, we're so, you know, and the modern thing, you know, India has progressed also. It used to be, you know, in the cinemas, they didn't show things, you know, like, show things. Even in the West, in the 1930s, they were self-regulated, and they had decided that even kissing was not allowed in the cinema. So when they, whether they kissed or not, we don't know. But when there was a kissing scene, they'd actually turn their back, they'd kind of bow down, and whether they kissed or not, you never knew. Because it was considered, like, you know, why be disrespectful to people who don't like to see that? So even the movie magnates in the West, they were respectful of this culture, you know, that you just don't do this in public, you know. Don't express your physical relationship with a woman. And in India, previously, a man would never be seen touch, even his wife touching the hand. Yet now I see not only boys coming to the temple and having their hands over girls' shoulders, but girls coming and putting their hands right here, passing through the lobby. And it's become forgotten. So, you know, once it's that way, there's no end to it. So Srila Prabhupada was very particular about this. And especially we should say, what to speak of brahmacharis, there's no excuse for grihasthas either. especially anybody sannyasis, but it doesn't mean just sannyasis. It was the association of men and women. This Prabhupada said, this is the cause of all the difficulties in ISKCON. He specifically said this. But at the same time, he didn't want us to, even the smallest iota, disrespect Matajis in any way. Any Mataji, they should always be respected, given great respect, and especially the devotee Matajis. I don't want to go into the different experiences I had with Srila Prabhupada. But this is very important. Prabhupada made this statement. He said practically that all of the difficulties in ISKCON is caused by the free association of men and women. Practically all the difficulties. This was his specific statement. So we should be very careful. We should not step over this, thinking, oh, I am very advanced. It's impossible, I can guarantee you. I have observed there are certain individuals, and it's not my point to, you know, point them out or belittle them. It just came up in the talk because of Narada Muni. But I have observed certain persons who talk, and most of the time that I see them talking, they'll be talking to a Mataji. These brahmacharis who linger for more than 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And very frequently you'll find them with, they prefer to speak to the fairer sex. If you have to talk to a Mataji, if for some reason is there, then you should have another Mataji and you should not be facing them and you should be a little distant. And if they don't like it, what can you do? Better to ask some Mataji, can you, this is a Mataji, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, we are all grihastha brahmacharis, we should be. And you know, you please talk to them. Srila Prabhupada gave that example of his Guru Maharaj. That one lady, she was his disciple, and she wanted to say something that she felt maybe about her family life. And she said, I need to talk to you in private. He says, not possible. Not possible. It's not just for sannyasis. We should all take this warning. Maybe there's a group of people, we can say something nice and then we go on. We have to be very careful. We shouldn't become obsessive about this, but it's very important. Okay, so I hope that taking something that can help you in your advancement, your progress in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.